Good morning. It's wonderful to gather with you here this Sunday morning, both in seeing you gather, the smiles on your faces, and hearing you gather, and certainly the sun around us. And with Thanksgiving in the air, it is good to be together. I trust it is so if you are joining us online as well. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you are with us online or whether you are with us in the sanctuary, grateful to have this opportunity to be in worship with you. As we begin our service, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who has a number of announcements regarding our upcoming season together as a church. Pastor Bethany?
Indeed. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. I do have a number of announcements for you. The first announcement that I would like to make is that we have Day of Prayer take-home packets for you that are available at the entrances. This time of prayer, or this packet, focuses on gratitude, and so we just wanted to be intentional. The prayer ministry wanted to be intentional to take space for gratitude, and we invite you into that and to pick up one of those packets at the entrances. I also would like to make an announcement about the Sharing Tree. The gifts for Sharing Tree are due on December 1st. And if you would remember to put those in bags and have the tag taped on the outside of the bag, we would appreciate that. And then the third announcement that I have for you is about the roll bake. We have had to postpone our roll bake, but we will have it in mid-September. And so I invite you to be looking for more communication on that and anticipate that in the new year. And then the last announcement I have for you is about our Advent study, which is based on Will Willimon's Heaven and Earth, the book. And so Pastor Jeremy and I will be preaching some sermons based on that in Advent, which begins next week. And then his Bible study, the S3 group, and the men's group will be participating in a deeper study during the week. And so we invite you to engage with that as well. And I believe that's all the announcements I have for us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Certainly a lot happening in the life of the church as we enter into the Advent season. And so I encourage you to turn to your weekly e-blast to connect with the life of the church. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Ellen Talbot, who serves as our SLC Strategic Leadership Council Chair, and also Gabrielle Cook-Mekelvena, who serves as our music director, for an exciting announcement.
Very good. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church family. We have some exciting news to get to share with you today, and really we couldn't be more thrilled. After much prayer, thoughtful consideration, and a careful search process, it is with joy and gratitude that we announce Carla Lopez Belay as our new choir director here at Midland First. We're very happy that you're able to join us today, Carla. That's terrific. Carla brings a heartfelt passion for worship, a strong musical background, and a deep commitment to guiding our choir in lifting praises to God. We look forward to the fresh energy, creativity, and spiritual leadership that she'll bring to our music ministry. She's highly qualified and holds, wait till you hear this list, a Bachelor of Arts in Music Theory, Music History, and Vocal Performance concentration at U of M, Bachelor of Arts in Psychology at U of M, Master of Science in Clinical Health Psychology at U of M. She has a rich musical background, and her prior professional music positions include Music Director at Michigan Avenue Baptist Church, Choir Director at First Christian Church West, and Vocal Coach at Saginaw Arts and Sciences Academy. Her ensemble work includes U of M Choral Union in Ann Arbor, U of M Jazz Choir, Gospel Choir, and University Choir. in Flint. Currently, Carla works in a full-time capacity as an outpatient therapist and behavioral psychologist, and she will continue in that role. So now I'd like to invite Gabrielle to tell you more about her.
Good morning. I always get to share with you really good news, so I love that about this. This morning, I have the honor of helping to introduce you to our new CORAL program director, Carla. Through the interview process, Carla was able to share her visions and dreams for ministry opportunities, not only for this congregation, but for the greater community. She has a passion for children and youth engagement in music opportunities, and a heightened awareness of how these opportunities can bring children and youth from different walks of life together. Carla is excited about music education opportunities, technique training, and musical genre growth in the current chancel choir. She's expressed an enthusiasm for sacred music from other Christian cultures, music sung in other languages, and sacred music from other regions of the world. Carla has experience in creating sacred musical spaces in ministry settings, and experience creating multicultural music opportunities through concert settings. I am excited to see how Carla's gifts and talents will be used to move God's people forward in his vision for his world. After this service, I invite you to please welcome Carla in the back and in the parlor as we invite and bring her into the ministry team here at Midland First. So thank you.
Carla, I'm very mindful that you may have lost a few people with a background at the University of Michigan, but I want you to know that you have won me over as a fellow alum of the university. But truly, welcome. It's fabulous to see the smiles on the faces of our choir and many of our members as we welcome you on board. And so we welcome you to what God is doing here at Midland First. Absolutely. So there's a lot to be thankful for, very much so in one another.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning
comes. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stay standing as we open our worship service with Shine, Jesus, Shine. Light.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you know bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Let there be light.
darkness, shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set your hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nation with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
As we gaze,
on your kindly brightness, so our faces display your kindness, ever changing from glory to glory. Story, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill your land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set your heart on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nation.
As you're getting seated, I have another good piece of good news. It's amazing. We have had our children learning some music during Sunday school time, and our two choral scholars, Zoe and Michaela, our two of our three, have asked if they could take up the mantle of teaching some music to the kids. And so I'm going to invite the kids to come on forward so we can get you up here. They're going to be singing a song for us today. Girls, if you want to come up and get in place. In our efforts to be able to teach children how to worship during their Sunday school hour, they do learn some of the music that we have in worship. They have been learning the doxology. Today they'll be singing Give Thanks. And during the year, they're learning other songs that we're learning in worship and singing in worship in order to help them worship during their Sunday school hour. All right, kids, we're going to have you come up and stand on the steps. And you guys get to turn and look at the adults.
Thank you, guys. That was absolutely wonderful. We are going to do a quick prayer, and then we're going to head off to Sunday school. I wonder, does anybody know what this is? Is it a hat or? Is it, you think? Well, we're going to find out today in Sunday school. Yeah. Okay, let's do a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for this awesome music program for Miss Gabe, Miss Zoe, and Miss Michaela. We thank you for all the singing today. We ask you to guide us as we have a fun Sunday school class. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Come on, girls, let's go.
We're running now.
We're walking.
Old-fashioned love and gave it as a gift for each to share and give again. That through all generations love might sift as wheat from chaff to make an increase of the
God fashioned love and gave from heaven's store for each to share and give again, that through all generations love might pour as wine from water by a miracle can pass, that every hand might take the glass.
God-fashioned love and gave it mankind's cast for each to share and give again.
As we come to a time of offering, I want to let you know that we, as a church, have given 150 bags of food to West Midland Family Center with our brown bag food drive, and they are very thankful for that, and we are very thankful to get to share with them. And so I invite us today, as the ushers are coming forward, to think about the things that we are thankful for this week. And also, if you have not signed the red friendship pads at the ends of your pews, I invite you to do that and pass them down to your neighbor. And we love to get to know our neighbors here. We love to know who's here. And so I invite you to take a look at that if you're not sure who you're sitting with this morning.
Thank you.
better land. Before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be. If any lost its all, it may be you never mention him to me. You never mention Jesus to me. Day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned Jesus to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard, how praying souls the light. That yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned Jesus to me. By day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned Jesus to me. A few sweet ways may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mention him to me. You never mention Jesus to me. To see, oh, met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned Jesus to me. You never mentioned Jesus to me. By day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned Jesus to me. Yet you never mentioned Jesus to me.
Please stand for the doxology.
God, we do praise you, and we give you thanks with grateful hearts as the children led us into worship this morning. We give you thanks for all that you have given us, and we know that all we have to give is all that we have already been given from you, and we do give you thanks. We praise you, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 33 through 43, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said to them, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself, if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself, and us too, while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Disappointments and disillusionments. At one point or another, these become a fact of life. They become part of our life story. And yet there are those moments still wherein we are blissfully unaware of this. I have an example of this for you, but first a bit of Olympic trivia. What city hosted the 2012 Olympic Games? Now, hold on to it if you have it. Give others a chance to think through. In case your memory needs a refresher, you might remember at these Summer Games that Michael Phelps became the most decorated Olympian ever. You might remember that the United States women's soccer team won Olympic gold, and you might remember that the women's gymnastics team, borrowing from the most memorable basketball team in college history ever, you might remember that the women called themselves the Fierce Five. So what nation hosted these 2012 Olympic Games? Beijing, London, or Rio? If your guess was London, you are correct. For me, what made those summer games so memorable were its opening ceremonies. Because that year, I watched the opening ceremonies with my wife, Cara, and my brother's family, which includes my niece, who was then 6 years old. And what made watching the opening ceremony so memorable was Olivia's response each time the broadcast showed an image of Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, and Prince William. And all of a sudden, her six-year-old tired eyes would spring open. And this pattern happened over and over every time Prince William and Princess Kate were shown. Now, to fully understand why this was happening, you need to know that Olivia, back then at least, was fascinated with all things pink and all things poofy and all things princessy. And so to catch a momentary glance of a real-life prince and princess was nothing short of completely captivating. Of course, it did not hurt that her Aunt Cara would fuel the fire with a comment or two each and every time about the real-life prince and princess. But even so, for Olivia, it was one of those magical moments where in life there was no disillusionment or disappointment. Real life lived up to what she imagined. It was as if everything she might have ever imagined about a princess was matched by what she saw that night. But what do we do when life takes us past that point? When we realize that there is disillusionment and we come face to face with disappointment, with what we imagine doesn't match what is. To me, it seems inevitable that we would encounter this along the way at some time or another. A family member or friend, or even a holiday gathering falls short of what we planned. Or perhaps it's the church, or it might even be a pastor who causes disappointment or disillusionment. Or what are we to do if it is God? What are we to do if it is God who is the source of unmet expectations? Listen to this portrait of Christ that the Apostle Paul paints for the church in Colossians chapter 1. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. And yet, on the day that Jesus was crucified, we know that his followers encountered an all-together picture. an altogether image of Christ. As we heard today, Luke tells us that at a place called the Skull, Jesus was nailed to a cross. To the right and to his left hung criminals. Indeed, on this last Sunday of the lectionary year, the last Sunday of the church's worship calendar, in which we focus on Christ as the King of Kings, does it not seem a bit odd that we would turn our attention to a time when Jesus hung on a cross? When the person to his right and the person to his left was a criminal. After all, it was on the cross that Jesus was mocked, with a sign hung above him saying, "This is the King of the Jews." Talk about disappointment or disillusionment. There's no denying that for many of us, such an image of Christ is a stark contrast to what we ordinarily associate with a king. And so in all of this, there lies an opportunity for us to consider, what do we do when we encounter disappointment? How do we respond to those times when in our heart, in our mind, and spirit, we are disillusioned? As much as we might long for those times when we could simply indulge in what is pink and poofy and princessy, the fact remains, as we make our way through life, we are bound to encounter disappointment and disillusionment. They often occur when our expectations are not met in the context of relationships, whether they are the ones we share with family, or in marriage, in friendship, at work, in the church, in our community, in our nation, in our world. Our disillusionment can strain our trust in humanity, and it can even shake the very foundation of our faith. And so, how are we to respond to life's unmet expectations? It's possible that we respond in a way that mirrors the soldiers and the Jewish leaders who were present when Jesus hung on the cross. They chose to become more cynical. Because Jesus failed to meet their expectations of a Messiah or of a king, they mocked him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." Even one of the criminals got caught up in the cynicism that day. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it." How? Prove it by saving yourself. Unfortunately, disappointment sometimes leads to the hardening of our heart. Another possibility is we get stuck, almost trapped in life. We get stuck in between what we expected or hoped for and where we find ourselves. In Luke's account of Jesus' crucifixion, it's easy to envision the soldiers and the Jewish leaders and the criminals. And yet Luke tells us that there were still plenty of others around that day who witnessed all that took place. The first part of Luke chapter 23, verse 35 reads, And the people stood by doing what? Watching. Watching. Sometimes in response to disillusionment, we find ourselves overwhelmed. We find ourselves stuck. Overwhelmed by the disparity between what we hoped for and what we see. And yet, rather unexpectedly, perhaps the way past our disappointments, past our unmet expectations, in life and in faith, can be found in how one of the criminals responded to all he saw. For indeed, this criminal rebuked the other one who was mocking Jesus, saying, "Do you not fear God? We indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man did nothing wrong." While Jesus may not have looked the part of being the King of Kings that day, this criminal was able to look past all this to the point that he would say to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into the kingdom." To which Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And so faith. Faith that God is at work. Belief in God's redeeming grace in this life. Holding on to what God can do beyond our present circumstances or even beyond our own abilities can provide a path beyond unmet expectations. And so this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you are at home, are you facing an uphill climb? Do you find yourself disillusioned because things aren't the way you thought they might work out? Or because life isn't the way that you think they ought to be? Or because a relationship in your life or in your church or in our community isn't what you wish that it would be? How does knowing that Christ is the King of Kings inform where you go from here? Eugene Peterson gives this interpretation of Colossians 1 in his putting of the New Testament in the Message. "We look at the sun, at this sun, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment." Friends, regardless of where you find yourself on this road, whether life is living up to everything you had hoped for and dreamed for, or whether you find yourself disillusioned or disappointed, or whether you find yourself somewhere along the way, Here's our hope. This is why we have faith. Because Christ is King. Let us acknowledge his reign not only in the life to come, but in the here and now. Amen. Friends, let us pray. God, as we worship you this day, as the church's worship calendar comes to an end and we get ready for the beginning of a new year, as we step into the holiday season of Thanksgiving and Advent and all that is to come. Indeed, we find ourselves in different places. For some of us, the season ahead and life today matches what we hoped for, perhaps even exceeds our biggest dreams. Hear our praise and hear our thanksgiving, for we know that you are good. And still there are some of us who gather today where we are very mindful of life's disappointments and those places in our lives where we find ourselves disillusioned. And in the quiet this morning, help us to lay them in your hands. Remind us that the one that we call Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, remind us that he is the King of Kings, that he is with us, that he sustains us, and that your Holy Spirit and grace can work in a redeeming way that helps us find the road beyond unmet expectations. And we offer this prayer with praise and thanksgiving, for we know that you are good. We pray this for one another as a church. We pray this for our community as we gather around Thanksgiving tables. We pray this for a nation that at times finds it hard to hold on to what we hope for and to be thankful sometimes for those who see things, believe things that are different from us. We pray this for a world who still needs to know the Prince of Peace. And so we pray this in Jesus' very name as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand and join one another in our closing hymn, Blessed Be the God of Israel. You'll find this on page 209 of the hymnals in front of you or on the screen. So if you did the math, you know that my niece Olivia is no longer six. And she's a student in nursing and has enough life experience, like many of us, to realize there are disappointments and there are disillusionment. My hope is if you find yourself in that season or place in life right now, that you will remember that Jesus is the King of Kings. My other hope is, if you know that well and good, and your faith has been battle-tested, that you'll listen to the anthem that Wayne and the band sang and share Jesus with them. Amen. Amen. Amen.